The Movement Church is all about passionate people who build authentic relationships to reach limitless potential and serves Orange County, California. For more information, visit us online at theocmovement.com. We hope you enjoy this message from the Movement.
Well, good morning. Oh, I always like it when you talk back right in the beginning. I know we're in for a good day. Listen, we are on week two of an amazing series called Baggage. And I want to encourage you that this a series is kind of like a book. And if you miss one of the weekends, it's like missing a pivotal chapter. And so if you missed last week, then go on our website. And this week, all of our podcasts, we just switched third-party sites. So our podcast will be working officially and functionally. And Megan said, yay. And go in and listen to last week's. This is a five-week series. This is week number two. And we're going to talk about a piece of baggage that really affects all of us. In some way, shape, or form. And today's sermon is titled, if you are taking notes, it's titled, The Baggage of Guilt. The Baggage of Guilt. And I want to just share with you just a few things, but before I go too much further into this, how many of you enjoy or like to or tolerate working out? Raise your hand right now. Awesome. How many of you absolutely despise it and hate it with a passion? Okay, kindred spirits. And listen, my wife and I had memberships to a gym when we lived in Arizona. Now we just work out outside because it's free. Amen. Can I get an amen, somebody? And going to a gym is like going to a freak show sometimes. I mean, don't judge me. We're in the beginning. Don't judge me. You know what I'm talking about. You got guys that go in there with shorts that are way too tight and way too short for any man to be wearing in public. Yes, and they get their protein shakes, and they're taking sips in between reps, and I mean, they just do weird things to warm up. I'll never forget, I went in one time, and this guy, I'm afraid this stage may not hold me, he grabbed some dumbbells, he set them down, he stood on the side, and he goes, woo, woo, like that, like legitimately 15 times. Now, you know that has nothing to do with curling for your biceps. That has everything to do with, hey, everybody, look at me, I'm about to rip some heavy weight. Are you tracking? They got muscles with veins exploding, and the veins have muscles on top of them, right? And sometimes you're just thinking, man, you need to put the weights down. Your neck is as big as your face. Nobody knows where it starts or ends. You're way too tan, sir, and get some shorts while you're at it. And you just kind of want to tell them, hey, put the weights down. Today, as we talk about the baggage of guilt, I want to challenge you, don't leave today without putting the weight down. You know, it's interesting that no matter where we're at in life, there has been a time, or maybe there is now, or maybe it'll be a struggle in the future of dealing with the baggage of guilt. I know this from my personal life, my personal story. I'll share a little bit about that later on this morning. But over the last 13 to 14 years, my wife and I had the privilege, I can't breathe from jumping up and down. I need to hit the gym, apparently, or just do that. Woo! We've had the privilege of working with teenagers as youth pastors for about 12 years or so. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like working with the generation that's coming up right behind us and empowering them to live a self-sustained faith. And you know what's really cool is last night, our teenagers at the Movement Church got to hang out with some other local churches at a bonfire. It was a super exciting time. And so no matter what age your children are, bring into the Movement Church, there's a place for them. But in the process of working with teens, it's interesting the myriad of stories that come across your desk. I don't even have time to go into great detail today, and this is going to take a shift and swing down a little bit in the momentum as far as emotions are concerned, but just bear with me. There's a young lady who came across our path in the journey of youth ministry and was with us for about 5 to 6 years. In our first encounter with her, she was 12. And after about 2 months of being with us at the church, she opened up and confided in my wife that her biological father was sexually abusing her. That's a heavy story. We walked through the course of that over the next 3 months and got law enforcement involved, and he took off and he's still nowhere to be found. Her mom got remarried, and about 4 years later, she came to church, this young girl, with a black eye the size of Texas. It wasn't even a black eye, it was like a black side of her face. And her now stepfather was physically abusing her. And her mother was doing nothing about it. Nothing. We had to actually give her a recording device just to capture it so we could turn them in. Because her mom had friends that were working with CPS. So when they did an initial interview, they just said, oh, it's okay, we know this woman, we trust her. And it got worse. Talk about a horrible experience. Got in the foster care system and went from home to home and had similar experiences with families in the foster care system. And I'll never forget, we were at a camp experience. Bear with me for a moment. We were at a camp experience, a summer camp for teenagers, and the power of God was moving in such a mighty way. And my wife and I began to pray for this young girl, and she just began to break down and cry. The message that night was about the love of God and the grace of God for everyone. And she crumbled to the floor, and she looked at my wife and I, and she said, I just don't believe it's possible that God can love me with all that I've been through. What she was acknowledging is that I feel an assignment or a sentencing of guilt that has made me feel unworthy of the love of God. And I was blown away by that. Because here is an innocent girl who is carrying the baggage of guilt. And if an innocent young girl can carry the baggage of guilt, how much more of us who are not so innocent, who can look back through the course of our life and see tragedy after poor decision, after area of sin that has taken over and become a habit in our life, how much more will we be plagued with the baggage of guilt? You know, the scripture talks about this. In Psalms 38:4, David said, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. The baggage of guilt can become so overwhelming that you and I can feel like we cannot handle it anymore. But I want to tell you that this is the message for today. That's not the way that God designed it. That's not how God intends for you and I to live. In fact, guilt is not from God. When God created this earth and set everything into motion, he created man and woman. And the Bible says that they were naked and they knew no shame. How many know that's a miracle in and of itself? That's the greatest thing to come from the fall, is that we get clothes, right? We can thank God you guys are sitting here in your clothes. I'm grateful for that. But the scripture says that Adam and Eve were naked and they knew no shame. Why? Because they were without guilt. But the moment that they sinned, guilt entered the world and they went from being childlike to childish, shifting the blame. Just across the hall are some amazing young men and women, the generation today leading the church that are 4, 5, 6, 7, 4th grade, 5th grade, 6th grade, and some amazing men and women who are leading the charge. But I can just tell you right now that they're not over there sharing and breaking their bread one with another. You're going to hear a lot of, mine, don't touch that, I'll slap you. I don't know why they talk like that. In fact, I suggest you go get your kids right now. It's a very dangerous place. I'm kidding. There's a difference between being childlike and childish. God created us to be childlike, right? Didn't he say that the faith of a child, for such is the kingdom of heaven? When kids get up at a Christmas play at their school and they sing their songs and there's that one kid going, yeah, yeah, and you film just him, he's not your kid, and you're laughing, you're like, that is awesome, and you do a round of applause for him, and it was horrible. Why do you do that? Because of the innocence of that child. Jingle bells, and he's looking around all like this, and you're like, your head's down if it's your child. But the innocence of that childlike innocence is amazing, but when it shifts to guilt, it becomes childish, and that's not how God designed it. You know what's so crazy is that Adam and Eve, when they took the fruit and they ate, what did they do immediately? They hid. It's so crazy to think that God created man, and the Bible says that he would walk with them in the garden in the cool of the day. Think about what they gave up. Walking with God in the garden in the cool of the day. And they sin, and God shows up and he says, Adam, where you at? And they were hiding. Why? Because of the shame and the guilt. The shame and the guilt. Guilt makes you want to hide. The sad truth is that in order to get rid of it, you can't hide it. You can't hide it. What did Jesus say in Matthew 11, verse 28? He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. There's some of you in this room that have been carrying the baggage of guilt and shame for so long that word rest is foreign to you. When I think about the young girl from our youth ministry, she just needed rest. She just needed rest. And see, when we carry guilt for too long, it can become baggage. Let's talk about some of the ways that guilt turns to baggage. I believe one of the ways that it turns or becomes baggage is when I have painful regret. When I have painful regret. You see, the truth is, when we start to make decisions or choices that are contrary to the word of God, there are consequences for those actions. And listen, there's no negating or denying the fact that the ways of the world are fun. In fact, Solomon says that. One of the chief authors of the scripture said that the way of sin is exciting for a small season. It's exciting. But the Bible also said that in the end, it leads to destruction. It leaves a residue on us. In fact, Matthew says, listen, broad is the gate and the path that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way and the gate that leads to life everlasting. What's he saying? That the things that are contrary to the word of God are exciting and fun and enjoyable for a season. But if you are a follower of Christ, if you say, you know what, I have given my life to the things of the Lord, then the more areas of compromise in your life, the more regret and pain that will come from that. In fact, I believe it's kind of like a residue. Here's something I believe, that decisions made contrary to the word of God leave a residue of regret. You see, in the times of ministry, in times of counseling, and sitting across Starbucks from individuals or across the desk from individuals, and I hear their life story. One of my favorite things to do is just to hear your story. You know, I hear a lot of people share things like, I wish I had never made that decision. I wish I had never dated that girl. I wish I had never bought into that business. I wish I had actually been faithful with my taxes. I wish I hadn't been deceptive and built the lifestyle of lying. I've heard a lot of those kind of regrets. You know what I've never heard? Man, I wish I had prayed a little less. I wish I'd spent a little less time in the Word. You know, I wish I'd just spent a little less time experiencing all that God has for me. I wish I'd spent a little less time pursuing God's purpose and destiny for my life. I believe guilt turns to baggage when I experience the pain of regret, and it leaves a little residue on my soul. You know, one of my best friends growing up, you'll hear about him. If you stay at the Movement Church for any length of time, you'll hear about him. He's been my friend since I was 4, so that doesn't happen very often. So outside of my mom and dad and brothers and sisters, he's the person I've known the longest in my life. And he's one of my greatest and dearest friends. And you know what that means. You get in the most trouble with that dude, right? I mean, we used to do things that were horrible, atrocious, throwing rocks at cars they're driving by, lighting things and people on fire. It was just me, so don't get mad. And there was a time where we were in his garage, and his dad had this like foam target for a bow and arrow. And he had a compound bow that was pretty exciting. And so we would go into this garage, and we set the foam target up at the end of the garage, and we would stand. This is already brilliant, isn't it? We would stand 15 to 20 feet away, and we'd have to both pull back on the compound bow because the pressure was so intense. And we'd loose the arrows one after another. We got so good at it, we got a little bit advantageous, a little bit courageous. And I don't know if it was he or me, it's kind of a rhyme, but we'll just go with it. Looked over on the wall and we saw an axe hanging. I mean, guys, you're already tracking with me, aren't you? It just makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if there's anything better than shooting an arrow at a target, it's throwing something sharp and deadly at a target. I mean, doesn't that logically make sense? Guys, can I get an amen? Can you raise? Okay, outside of burning things, let's throw sharp things at stuff. Right? And so this is the same friend who we would throw knives down at the deck to see if they'd stick. And one time he threw it down and he was like, ah! And the knife had bounced back up and was sticking out of his shin. Okay? So we grabbed this axe. And I'm like, man, this is your house. You better go first. And so I don't know why he started walking like this, but he grabs the axe and he gets to the edge of the garage and he gets this like ESPN lumberjack thing going like this, right? I mean, the target's probably 2 foot by 2 foot. This is a sure hit. There's no way we're missing this thing. So he winds up and he pulls the axe back. And man, let me just tell you, this is a blast. He goes, boom, and he releases it. And like slow motion on an iPhone 6, it begins to, and as it nears the target, our faces turn from this to, as it begins to veer away from the target, The target is now light years to the left, and wham, it slams in and through the wall of his garage. And we go, oh! And we ran around the outside to the front of his home, and an axe head is sticking out. We go back in, and of course, the best thing to do is to hide it and stick something in front of us. So we yank it out, and we stick it on the side, and we put a poster up, and his dad came home and beat us, and it was horrible. No, he didn't really beat us. But can I just tell you, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot. I think when they sold the house 20 years later, that hole was still there. I mean, it literally went through the home. I mean, can you imagine if a child had sit on the other side? This would have been a bad deal. Let's move on. It was a lot of fun. But it left a residue of regret. It left a residue, a massive gaping hole of regret in the wall. And I think that that's when guilt becomes baggage. And you know, can I just tell you that my experience has shown that the residue of regret so often deters people from experiencing the ocean of God's grace. My experience has shown that. We experience the residue of pain and regret in our life. And just like the young girl in the story before, we feel like it's a chasm separating us from the love and the ocean of God's grace. So what do? I just hang on to that piece of baggage and I carry it through my life. And I compensate the way that I walk and live because of the pain of regret. You know, if anyone had had the right to feel regret or pain, it would have been Paul. One of the greatest apostles, one of the chief writers of the New Testament. But before he became an apostle, his name was Saul. And he actually was a chief terrorist. The things that Paul would do are likened to what you see in the news that ISIS is doing right now. No joke. Murdering families because they belong to Christianity. So this guy made horrible decisions. And then one day on the road to Damascus, Jesus shows up and radically changes his life. And if anybody on this earth could feel the guilt and condemnation and shame of a past, of regret, it should be Paul. Yet he is one man who wrote such a powerful scripture, one verse in Romans chapter 8, and he said this: there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He understood the gift of God's grace, and it did not plague him. You see, condemnation is something that is illegally attached to you, and you need to know that. You don't have to live under the bondage of guilt because of the pain of regret. Paul is saying that there's no condemnation. Why? Because of God's grace. It's sufficient for you and for me. Guilt becomes baggage when we have painful regret. And guilt becomes baggage when I hold on to it. When I hold on to it. 2 Corinthians says this, verse 5 and 17. Chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Can we just pause right there? If anyone is in Christ Jesus, the old has passed away and behold, the new has come. Yet why do we hold on to the baggage of guilt? Why do we hold on to the baggage of shame and regret? Allowing our yesterdays to keep us chained to them. You know, condemnation, or maybe even the facts. The facts will say that I did something wrong, but the baggage of guilt will say that I, as an individual, am wrong. The facts might say that I failed at something, but the baggage of guilt says I am a failure. And so many people live under that oppression. They think, man, because something failed in the past, I am a failure. And that's not God's plan for you. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation says, this is what you've done and there's no way out. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit says, this is what you've done and here is the way out. Here is the way out. That Jesus is the answer. I like to even translate the scripture. I think I have it in 2 Corinthians verse 5, 17 again. But I changed it just a little bit. And I think sometimes it's good to read a scripture like this where it says, therefore, if I am in Christ, I am a new creation. Can we read that together? Come on, right here at the top. Read with me right now. Therefore, if I am in Christ, I am a new creation. And I think that's the promise for some of you today. In fact, you need to take this scripture and post it this way, paraphrase, on your mirror. Therefore, if I am in Christ, I am a new creation. That is a promise that breaks any kind of bond from your past. It's a promise, which means that if you are living with the baggage of guilt and shame and regret, look at me in the eyes, it's your choice. And it's not God's plan for your life. Some of you need to embrace the calling and the words of Elsa. Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back. No one. Thank you, Megan. You're good. Here I am. And here I... Okay, we're moving on. Okay. Guilt becomes baggage when we have painful regret. Guilt becomes baggage when we hold on to it. And guilt becomes baggage when I don't allow God to forgive me or cover my sins. When I don't allow God to forgive me or cover my sins. You know, theologically speaking, every sin has to be paid for. That is an irrevocable law, a spiritual law, that every sin has to be paid for. But guys, look at me. You don't have to pay for it. Jesus already did. Jesus already did. You know, one of the things that's interesting to me is my wife. I love her with all my heart. And she, the more I'm with her, the longer I'm with her, the crazier she gets. And the more I love it. And her personality is that of super responsible and super I love to party. Anyone else in here like that? Two of you. The rest of you, you're like me and you just like to party all the time. And there will be times where she knows that there are some things that she has to get done. And yet there's someone in the living room that she just really wants to talk to. But if I talk to that person, then I won't get this done. And if I stay and get this done, then I can't talk to that person. All the things that I want to do that I do not do. And so she'll sit there in this place of frustration. And maybe she'll decide to do the responsible thing. Yet on the inside, she's torn up because she can hear the people outside talking. Or she'll go over and hang out with the people, but on the inside she's torn up because she knows of the things that are clicking in her mind. And I'm going to want dinner. I'm going to say, baby, where's that dinner at? No, I'm kidding. That doesn't happen. And I'm going to know. She's going, I got to get these things done. And so no matter where she lands, she's tormented. She's tormented. And guys, that's what guilt does to us. When we hang on to guilt, we go through life and we pay for it. By being tormented in our soul because we don't allow Jesus to forgive us and cover our sins. I think about my own story, and I've shared this before, and I don't want to go into detail because of time, but before I was married, I made some very poor choices. And I was a Christian and a leader in a church. And I made some decisions that destroyed another marriage. And it's one of those things that if I'm not careful, it can be the shame of regret. That leads to the baggage of guilt in my life. And when that happened, I picked up those bags of guilt. And I tried to hide for a while. I tried to hide from God. I tried to hide from everyone. And then when that didn't work, I tried to worship just a little bit louder. I tried to love just a little bit more. I tried to lead to the best of my ability. I was doing everything that I knew how to do in my own actions to try to compensate for the poor choices that I had made. And I was paying for my sin with my guilt. Now, don't get me wrong. There's consequences for every action. But what I was refusing to do was let Jesus forgive me and cover my sins. I was refusing to allow the grace of God to overwhelm me. So I was doing everything I could to work for His love and approval and affirmation. And I was missing the point. I was missing the point. Guilt was my fuel. I was paying for my sin with guilt. And I realized at one point that I had to let Christ pay for it. Romans 11:6 says this in the Amplified Version. It says, but if it is by grace, His unmerited favor and graciousness, it is no longer conditioned on works or anything men have done. Guys, can you just look at me for a moment? You cannot work your way out of guilt. You can't serve enough on the dream team. You can't go to church enough. You can't be any more nicer to get rid of the issue and the struggle with guilt. You have to make a decision to let Jesus forgive you and cover your sins. And man, he wants to. He's waiting. He's waiting to, with arms open wide. You say, man, come on, I've got this thing covered. You don't have to be perfect because my son was perfect. You can't work your way out of it because my grace is sufficient for you. We have to believe that Christ's grace is enough, and we have to allow him to forgive us and cover our sins. Listen to this powerful verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39. One of my favorite verses. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. I mean, you don't need another point in a sermon. You don't need another point in the sermon. Look at me. If you've been carrying the baggage of guilt, there is nothing that you have done on this earth that can separate you from the love of Christ. And that's the key to setting down the baggage of guilt. Is just let Jesus forgive you and cover your sins. Don't carry those bags anymore. Let them go. And when we do that, listen, when we do that, when we let the bags of guilt go, it changes things. It changes everything. It changes our relationships. In fact, it changes how I relate to people. You see, listen, if the pain of regret leads to the baggage of guilt and it leaves that residue, then listen to this. That residue that's on our soul, when guilt leaves a residue, it becomes a filter in how you relate to others. When the baggage of guilt is there, it becomes a filter through how we relate to others. Look at Adam and Eve. Living in the most perfect place ever. She was the best looking woman in the history of humanity. She had the best personality. She had everything you could possibly want. He was the greatest thing since sliced bread, which wasn't even invented yet. He was a hottie boom body. A bad mamma jamma. They lived in a place where the weather was more perfect than South Orange County. More perfect. Food was at their beck and call. They could hang out with animals. Like a safari park you don't pay for and they won't eat you. And then God would walk with them in the cool of the day. And they exchanged that for their own carnal desires. And then what happened in an instant? Instead of taking responsibility, they began to shift the blame. God says, Adam, how did you know you were naked? It was the woman. She gave me the fruit. Eve, is this true? It was the snake. He told me to. When we let go of the baggage of guilt, it changes the way we relate to people. It changes the filter through which we see our husband or our wife, our boyfriend or our girlfriend, our son, our daughter, our mother, or our father. It changes that. It changes how I relate to God. It changes how I relate to God. I promise you, there are some of you that are here today because you felt guilty and if you didn't come today because you knew my wife would text you. There are some of you here today and you said, you know, I got to go because I've missed it. Some of you miss church and you don't post on Instagram because you know we'll see it and you feel guilty. All is quiet. Hallelujah. There's no guilt in this place. There are some people who are here today because they just love Jesus. They don't need to be encouraged to sing. They don't care if there's a band here. They just want to worship because God is so real. That song, I get up here on the stage and I'm singing it with everything I got. I had to mute my mic because you don't need to hear me sing that loud. But I sing Jesus paid it all. Why? Because he did. He did. Some of you may not want to come to church because of guilt, but you don't have to. Listen, when we ditch the bags of guilt, we recognize that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. Not depth, nor height, nor anything on this world. It's time to come out of hiding. Stop hiding behind the guilt and the regret. Enjoy the grace of God. And hey, just spend some time in His presence. The Bible says in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Why do we worship? Because the Bible says that He inhabits the praises of His people. The true and living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, leans a little bit closer and just says, I am here. When we let go of the bags of guilt, it changes how I relate to God. When I let go of the bags of guilt, it changes how I'm used by God. See, if you carry around the bags of guilt, whether it's from pain or regret, because you've been holding on to it, or because you've chosen to not let God forgive, when you carry around those bags of guilt and regret, it literally puts this kind of damper on what you can accomplish. But when you let go of guilt and shame and regret and embrace the grace of the true and living God, who says that nothing will separate my love for you, it opens your eyes and your mind to something fresh and new and real. And you say, man, if I've experienced this, somebody else needs to know. Somebody else has got to know. Do you want to know why I'm on this pulpit today? It is not because of my long line of degrees in theology and doctrine. It is not because my father and my grandfather was a pastor. It is not because I married the most brilliant woman on the history of the face of the earth. It's because I've been set free, forgiven. I'm a new creation, and I don't carry the bags of guilt anymore. And I know what it's like to feel the bondage of that in everything. And I say, you know what? If it happened for me, it can happen for anyone. It's changed the way that I've been used by God. Some of you sit in the seats today, and it's time to let go of the bags of guilt so that you can be used by God in such a powerful way it will blow your mind. Can I just tell you? Can I take a commercial break? Maybe you're here and you've let go of the bags of guilt and you're wondering, well, how do I do that? Or maybe today's the day you're letting go of the bags of guilt and you go, how do I do that? Tonight, we have a welcome to church party at 5 p.m. And we'll discuss just that. This is not a gimmick. This is not a multi-level marketing company. This is the greatest corporation in the history of mankind. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ. And if you're going to clap, clap. We aren't playing golf right now. And when we recognize that I've been set free from guilt and that God wants to use me in a powerful way, it unlocks destiny and purpose in your life, and you begin to have something to live for. This morning as I drove into church, I love October, November in Southern California because that fog or marine layer, whatever it is, rolls in. It's kind of eerie. We didn't have that in Texas or Arizona, so I love it. And as I drive in, I drive through the canyons and the hills to get here. And it was, you know, all foggy and nasty. You can't see it. I'm just loving it, but my windows are fogging up. I got the defrost on, heat's on blast, and my windshield wipers are going. I can barely see. It's a little bit dangerous. And all of a sudden, I came over this hill. I stepped out of the fog, and I could see clearly now. The rain is gone, and everything was clear. I still had to drive. There were still dangers. I could still get in an accident. I still kept my lights on, but I could see clearly. And that's what happens when you let go of the bags of guilt, and it changes the way that you're used by God. It doesn't get perfect. Anyone who tells you that's selling you something, or they're part of a cult. But I just want to tell you, it doesn't have to be that way for you. Let go of the bags of guilt. And let Jesus do what He wants to do, to forgive and cover your sins. In fact, let me just talk to those of you who are here today who may be struggling in your faith. Maybe you were dragged here by a friend, or maybe you've been here your whole life, and maybe you've been in church your whole life, and it doesn't matter, but maybe today where you're seated, you're struggling with this whole faith dynamic. Who is Jesus, and what role does He play? But at the same time, as you sit here, you recognize that, man, I may be carrying the bags of guilt. I've been struggling with some stuff, but I feel like there's a gap or a chasm between me and God. And I don't know how to close that gap up. Can I just tell you that that feeling that you have is a biblical feeling? The Bible calls that gap a sin gap. And theologically, you're sound because the Bible says that that sin separates us from God. And more importantly, there is a consequence for that sin called death and an eternity in hell, which is super sobering. But the Bible also offers a radical solution, the gift of God. The man, Jesus, came to this earth and he paid for every sin by dying on the cross for you and for me. And he closed that gap so you can walk through life guilt-free. You don't have to get perfect. You don't have to change everything. But you do have to make a faith declaration in your heart to say, Jesus, I want to be yours. Look at me in the eyes, everyone in this room. If you're here today and you've never made that declaration today, in just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And right where you're seated, you don't have to get out of your chair, but right where you're seated in your own heart, I want you to repeat that prayer after me. Let's close that gap. And there are some of you in this room who've been running from God. And today's the day to come back. As I pray that prayer, repeat it after me and let's close that gap. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I just want everyone in this room, if you're here and you say, man, I need to pray that prayer. I got to make that change. I don't want to carry this baggage anymore. In your own heart, would you just repeat this simple prayer after me? Say, dear God, I know that you love me. I know that you're real. I know you've given me purpose, but God, I've got sin in my life. Would you forgive me? Thank you for sending Jesus. Now, right where you're at, would you just repeat this statement after me in your own heart? Say, Jesus, I give you my heart.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more about us at theocmovement.com, or we'd love to meet you in person this Sunday. Until next time, Orange County.